Running a marathon is not the same as taking a Sunday stroll, playing softball, or even a good brisk 5-mile jog. It's something you have to train for strenuously, even if you're just trying to finish, not win. Every long-distance runner is nagged by injuries, and this year was no exception for me. A knee problem sidelined me part of July, and a bruise in my right foot kept me from running the first part of September. I trained very hard the rest of the summer, though, but had my misgivings as I lined up for the marathon. So does everyone else, though, and maybe that explains the easy camaraderie I've always found at the starting line.
It's a tape recorder.
You must be a reporter?
Yes, I am.
Poor guy.
Well,
does your newspaper make you do this all the time?
Well, it's a radio station, and no, I make myself do it. I do this every year.
Yeah? I'm glad you're not into wrestling.
The beginning moments of the marathon can be breathtaking, if not a bit disconcerting, as you see the faster runners stretch out before you.
You wouldn't believe the crowds here on the Dearborn Street Bridge. People are lined elbow to elbow. Runners everywhere, as far as you can see. Corner to corner. All over the street. Even on the sidewalks. Thousands of people. Lots of energy. Lots of sweat.
It's easy to get caught up in the sights and sounds so early on, especially in America's Marathon, which has always run its first few miles through the streets of downtown Chicago and on the city's near north side, where crowds turn out by the hundreds, often three and four deep. That can lead to a jarring and disconcerting realization a short way down the pike.
The crowds are great. They give you a lot of energy. Once you get outside downtown Chicago and you leave the crowds behind, the real business of running begins. Crowds are gone. It gets awful lonely then.
With no one to cheer you on, if you're running alone, the best advice is to find a partner. Otherwise, the distance quickly begins to wear on you more than the actual physical toll. In my case, by a stroke of luck, the person I ran into at about the 8-mile mark was former Chicago Mayor Michael Bolandic, the man who first came up with the idea for the marathon back in 1977.
How do you like the race so far today?
Well, it's a great people event. It brings all of the people in the city of Chicago and the surrounding area together, and everybody's having a good time. It's healthful, it's good recreation, and it's a wonderful pastime. Good way to know your city and to meet the people who live in it.
Oh, how'd you prepare for the race?
Well, I didn't have too much time this year. Andy Anthon here was my trainer. He trained me the last 3 weeks.
That's not a lot of training. How fast a time do you expect to finish with?
Well, every finisher is the winner, so basically the race for the money is only one for three or four people. The race for self-respect, personal accomplishment, and personal satisfaction is one where everybody's a winner.
I pulled back as we jogged into Bridgeport and watched the former mayor, still the politician, work the crowd in his home neighborhood in a unique way.
They say in Chicago, they don't cheer any political losers. But on a day like this, everything like that is forgotten. The man who founded this race, Mike Bolandic, former mayor, just in front of me. Unbelievable the reception he's getting. People waving, stopping, shouting and cheering, giving him encouragement. It shows that deep down in his big city heart, Chicago does still care.
Bolandic's pace was slower than mine, though, and I moved on. After about 13 miles, even I began to feel it.
Here we are at the halfway point.
Up and down.
159, 55. That's a pretty respectable time. Until you stop and think that I've been losing 4 minutes a mile to the leaders, and the one will probably cross the finish line in about 10 minutes.
Still, if you're not too tired, it's the little things that'll pull you through. Just when I thought I was beginning to feel really tired for the first time, I spotted someone just ahead of me.
It's a guy in an orange suit just ahead of me. He's got something tied around his waist, tied to the arm of the guy next to him. The back of his shirt says Blind Jogger. 15 miles, and you can't even see where you're going. I thought I was doing good, but he's doing this incredible.
I never did find out his name, but I know I just barely beat him at race's end. The frequent water stops were a real godsend, and although I never asked to make sure, I believe the course was planned to facilitate treatment of any runner who found the toll to be too much.
Gee, is this just my imagination? Are we going by a lot of hospitals? We went by Mercy, well, within a block or two of County, Mount Sinai, and U of I. Now we just went past Augustana. Hey, that's enough to make one feel kind of sore.
The last 5 or 6 miles of any marathon are the worst. Even seasoned runners, the ones who run to win, not just finish, will often feel the effects of heat, humidity, sunshine, and pure exhaustion. For me and hundreds of other runners, it was just this side of torture to finish.
Oh, 21 miles. Why is it? Why is it? Every mile seems like it's farther, longer, harder. Here to go. 351.43. Whoa. Come on, please don't fail me now. I see it. I see it up ahead. The finish line. Oh. Third of a mile up. Come on. Come on.
There you go.
405.23. Oh,
good job. Straight ahead.
Thank you.
It's difficult to describe the feeling after finishing a marathon. There's pain, to be sure, although nothing approaching the pain from the next day. But it's not enough to keep from smiling, a smile that comes from deep down inside, along with a sense of accomplishment, because marathoners do something that not many could even think of attempting. I'm Bob Roberts.